Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Tim Sneath.
Hi,
hey,
Robert.
Tim.
Thanks
for coming on the show. Tim's a program manager in Visual Studio Land, working on extensibility,
yes,
among other things.
That's right.
And you're here today to tell us some of the enhancements that have come in Visual Studio 2015 for building extensions.
Yeah.
We all know that extensions are a great way to extend the product, add more functionality. They work in community, which is a great thing, so we're excited about that. And it's actually now easier to build them.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we've done a bunch of work in this last release to make it a little bit easier. The thing about extensions is we've opened up with Visual Studio the entire API pretty much to you to be able to go and create whatever you like. And so people create extensions for all kinds of things, new languages, ALM tooling, components. So you can really spelunk around the entire Visual Studio.
Yeah, and then they're in the Visual Studio Gallery. I subscribe to that RSS feed, and every day there's 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 new extensions.
Yeah,
anybody
yeah.
can do them.
Yeah,
right. Not just Microsoft or
that's right.
the usual third-party crowd.
Yeah. So we have about 6,000 extensions out there. There's some really cool ones. There are a few that particularly. Impressed me. Mads Christensen, I think he's coming on the show
in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's built this plethora of different ones, Web Essentials. There's one around less and SAS sort of compilation. Some really cool things.
Productivity Power Tools,
yeah, that's
which
true.
Was the first two episodes of this series, was on that.
Interesting.
So a lot of good ones.
Yeah. So should we see a couple?
Yeah.
Is that interesting? So I thought I'd just pick out a couple that for me represent just really fun things about what you can do with the extensions. There's one which I really love, which focuses on C# 6. You know, there's all those new features in C# 6 that I can, you can watch a session, you can get your head around, okay, yeah, we've got this great thing, expression-bodied members and so on and so forth. But actually putting it into practice in your code can be tough, right?
Remembering to do that.
Right,
yes.
Right. So there's an extension called C# Essentials. And it's a small little extension built by Dustin Campbell. And what it does is it basically goes through and looks at your code for opportunities to upgrade the style to match the C# model. So for example here, this is kind of like the way I guess a lot of us have written, you know, this kind of stuff for a long time. If I go here, I've got this cool light bulb feature, we all know. I can go into here and it gives me a few examples of how to change it. So, hey, you know, by the way, this is a single line. Why don't we turn that into an expression-bodied member? And so this gives you just like that.
Which also teaches you the name of that feature.
Right, which a lot of people don't even know. Another example is the string interpolation. So here, again, you can go ahead and convert that into an interpolated string. And if I just spit that back out again. So, you know, just with two clicks, not only am I fixing my code, I'm learning, you know, some of the C# idioms that I might have, you know, forgotten, or I'm seeing it in place through my own code. So it's just a fun little extension.
Does it teach you to go backwards too?
Go backwards?
go back
I want to learn how to do C# 1.1 again. I strip out all the link from my code and generics. And
Well, I was thinking more about taking the string interpolation and turning it back to string
back
format.
It does that. Yeah, it does do that.
Okay.
Yes, if you don't like that format, you can go back in again. It has a similar kind of thing.
Okay,
So yeah, it's all in there. So I kind of like that one. It's a good example of the kinds of things you can do with an extension, right? It's it's in the product. It's it doesn't feel like something separate to the product. It's not like some add-in. It just feels like a natural, innate part of what Visual Studio does. I want to show you another one as well, actually, if I can, which is called Duocode. And this is one that I really like. I came across this a couple of weeks ago. This is a kind of different end of the spectrum here. And what Duocode does is it basically takes your existing C# code and transpiles it into TypeScript.
Oh, cool.
So this is, I just installed it the other day. This is one of their sample projects they've created. It's a ray tracer, you know, standard sort of code to do a whole bunch of stuff that I don't understand, but has matrix manipulation and stuff like that in it. And if I go and take this, I can go into Solution Explorer. If I build this real quick and go and show all files, you'll see that what it creates for me is a JavaScript version of this that the Duocode compiler's created. Now, this is taking place using Roslyn. So this doesn't need like any sort of magic from their side. They recognize like C# 6 features. They recognize all the new stuff. And it basically converts that into the equivalent code that you can run in the browser. So if I go into Edge for a moment and fire this up, you'll see it as it actually occurs. Rebuilt it, of course. Take a moment to execute that. We'll fire up the web server. And there is the there is my little ray tracing thing. Now, the thing that I really like about this is I can go into the dev tools here, and you'll see here, this is now, of course, the HTML code associated with this. And you'll see here some references to the scripts here. So I've got a reference to mscorelib.js.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that was a JavaScript file.
Yeah.
And raytracer.js. And if I control click into that, because of the mappings that are in there, I'm not looking at the JavaScript. See, this is actually going to program.cs. So it's actually also able to do the source code mapping back into the original C# code. And I can actually go ahead and put in something like a breakpoint on this code here. Let's say someone like that. And this will actually go ahead and sort of pause when you get to that sort of stage.
Wow.
So you can actually take it through and work through the code. So, you know, it's kind of fun, the things you can do with an extension. You can create something that's a little editor hint. You can build a whole different language system. There are companies like Intel, Fujitsu, others that have built entire separate shells, so like Visual Fortran, that is designed, you know, for high-end parallel programming.
Mm-hmm.
That's built as an entirely separate shell using the same stuff. So they've kind of taken this and created some really interesting things.
Wow, that's
out of
cool.
It. So what do you think?
Yeah, that's cool. I'd like to write extensions.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm so pleased you asked that, Robert. Should we have a look at creating a
let's see how you create one of these.
So it used to be really tough. We didn't have great templates. It used to be just a bit of work to go and figure out how you go ahead and create these things. A couple of things we've done in this release. We embedded the extensibility tooling into the core VS setup. So now if you go into the custom setup at the bottom, there's a choice to just say, okay, I want to install the extensibility tooling.
So you used to have to install the Visual Studio SDK.
Correct.
Does that mean you no longer need the SDK to write extensions?
No longer need the SDK, that's right.
Oh, so what's in the SDK that you would need?
Well, the SDK is installed through the setup, essentially. So.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So you just, there's a little checkbox, extensibility tools in add remove programs.
If you install and you check extensibility,
yep,
then you already have the SDK. You don't need to go and download it and install it again.
You got it. And in fact, it's even better than that. We've nugatized APIs, the DLLs.
I clearly did not know that.
You have a look of surprise about you.
Good to know.
Hey, it's good new stuff in the product, right?
Okay.
We've also nugatized the DLLs themselves, extensibility DLLs. So you don't even need to install that checkbox to build them. One of the other problems in the past is if you had you download an extension, the Visual Studio just wouldn't load it because it didn't understand the formats. Now, since we've nugatized the DLLs, you can actually build one without even needing to install the extensibility tools.
Cool.
But of course, the tools add
some
templates, some other pieces that you'd want. But it's good for build server. So let's go ahead and just create one here. So I go into extensibility, pick a V6 project. V6 is it's Visual Studio, actually I'm not even sure what it stands for. Visual Studio Integration Extensibility or something like that. We tend to call them V6s internally, just as a short version for the fact that none of us know what it means. And here we go. So this is a V6 file, V6 project. And you'll see it just looks like any classical project. It's got a pretty much nothing to it. It's got a little manifest. And here, this is where you put in details about
your
project.
And the HTML and the CSS is that's
oh, that's just, purely just that intro page.
Right, that's an intro page.
Yeah, that's nothing. So this tells you a little bit about the project. You can set a license up. We want icons and things like that. Install targets. So here you can say, you know, I'm targeting different editions of Visual Studio. As you mentioned, now we support the community edition for extensions for the first time. So you can actually go ahead and have extensions loaded in either VS 2013 or 2015.
Go back for a second, go back to install targets and let's see that drop down.
This one here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The targets.
Oh, the one where I was here.
Yeah, yes. There it is.
Yeah.
Express?
Yeah, so that's a bit of
a... Express didn't support extensions.
Yeah, so that's just kind of... we enumerate all the different editions. So nothing to see there. Move on.
All right.
but you can target a version range there as well. By default, these V6s are installed on a per-user basis. Mm-hmm. And what that means is we can then do auto-update on them as well. So you know that little flag that sometimes sort of pops up? If you update your extension in the gallery, which we'll talk about in a bit, then they automatically can be prompted here and can be even auto-silently updated if you choose to do so.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's the kind of manifest that describes it as a project. Let's just build it, and you'll just get a kind of quick sense of what it's created here. So this is creating a little V6 file here. Let's go over here, and we'll go and just visit a command prompt. And oops, try again. If I look at this, you can see I'm usually in PowerShell. If I rename the V6 to a zip file and open that, you can see this is just a zip file. Okay. It's expressed using the open packaging container, which is this sort of same format that docx,
APX,
XPS files, all those things use under the covers. So there's just that same manifest and then a content type. But this is essentially nothing in it, right? This is just an empty extension right now. So let's go and add some stuff to it. I'm going to go here and choose Add, New Item. And in this extensibility item templates here, you see the various different things you can build. Now you can create, it's worth just talking about some of these. You can create a command, which is something that appears from a tools menu or right clicking on something. A tool window, of course. A lot of different extensions do that kind of thing for linting or other things like that. Some of these editor things have to do with either classifiers, which are for custom languages you might create. Margins, adornments, these are things like the ability to put some sort of custom text in the edges of the window. And then, of course, there's controls that are kind of a slightly different thing here. So if I go ahead and just pick this one here, this is a custom command here. And we'll open that up. What this does is now adds all that stuff that we were talking about, the extensibility content. And you see it just takes a couple of seconds to pull in the various different pieces here. If I look at the references, you'll see I've now got a bunch of references right into the core Visual Studio. Again, you know, I talk about this as an API. It's almost like we just give you full access to Visual Studio.
Right.
It's not like
an automation model. There used to be macros and
right, yeah. Right.
So there's a whole automation model in Visual Studio.
Right. So if I want to get at, for example, this thing here, this is the text view host, I can actually get at the actual object that we program against ourselves. So many of the features we've added in Visual Studio 2015 themselves are extensions. They're just pieces that slot in there. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're kind of looking at here. A couple of key files here. There's the notion of a package, which is really what contains the commands in this case. And this again is an XML file that enables you to define things like injection points into Visual Studio. And again, it's kind of a little complex because you're harnessing the full power of Visual Studio here. So in this case here, I'm saying that this command by default is going to be on the tools menu here. Mads has written a great extension which helps you build extensions in his classic sort of way. So I could go ahead and if I go into here, I can just see all the various different menus that are available to connect into, or the other extensibility points. So he's done work to add IntelliSense to some of these places here. But that's what that's about. I can do things like changing, you know, obviously the menu text here itself, adding icons, something. Let's put that in there. And so that's the package. Then we actually have the command itself, and this is what actually happens when you instantiate these things. So in this case, for example, there's a menu item callback, which is what gets fired when you select your command. Mm-hmm. Looking at this here, it just shows a message box, and we just use a wraparound message box to put the standard Visual Studio stuff around it. So that's now my extension with some actual content inside it. So what do I do with that? How do I test that?
Well, you could fire up another version of Visual Studio and install it, but that's runtime. So do you test it at design time?
How do you test your own thing? That's right. It's kind of fun like that. So we've built this thing called the experimental instance of Visual Studio, which is a side-by-side instance of Visual Studio. I'll just fire it up whilst we talk about it, because it takes a little while to fire up and run. But what we've done is we've essentially isolated Visual Studio into a separate hive from a registry point of view, so that you can run this sort of isolated environment and you can debug against Visual Studio, which is, of course, the kind of challenge that you might have in these kinds of setups. So this is the experimental instance. You see a few things here at the top there. You see it says experimental instance. That's one clue.
Can you change the theme for the experimental instance?
Sure you can, yeah.
The
usual kind of ways of doing those kind of things, right?
Set it to be dark or something.
Yeah, totally you can.
Okay,
yeah,
so because it is sometimes, it can be difficult to tell which one's the experimental instance and which one's the real instance, because they do kind of look the same.
They can do. On my machine, I've got this one set up in gray, this one in blue for that very purpose.
That's subtle.
It is subtle. It's less subtle when you're on a desktop.
Right.
It turns out there's a great extension called the Color Theme Editor, which was written to add a plethora of additional colors to your themes menu. Because of course, by default, you just get light and dark and like this bluish color. So Color Theme Editor.
Is there a way to set the theme of the experimental instance as a global property so that every time you launch it, it would be that?
It automatically comes up. It's a separate. So let me show you. This really is a separate side by side version of Visual Studio. If I go into the registry editor here, you can see that there's here. This is the regular Visual Studio instance,
right.
And so you can actually see all the stuff that I've got here, the projects I've been using in recent sort of weeks. This one here is the experimental hive. So it's just another. Instance. It's isolated, it's side by side. All those settings that you've mentioned appear here. If you set separate extensions, they appear here. So that's the kind of the delineation between them. You can actually run this also just by going into a run session. Here we go. If you choose devenv / root suffix exp, you can just fire this off from the command line as well. But the purpose of it is nothing else special about it. It's just a separate side-by-side
instance. And then if you change the theme now, that persists?
You're keen on these themes, aren't you?
I guess I can.
Yeah, let's back in the general setting. If you change a theme, then it's going to persist.
Okay.
It's going to be part of the environment here. So I'll turn it dark for you.
Thank you.
You'll be happy now.
There's my
experimental instance.
I like hijacking.
You've been gently
the show
settling
my personal
there you
preferences
go.
Here.
There you
okay,
go.
Perfect.
All right. So there's my experimental instance. That will be stored here.
Great.
I can't remember where to spelunk through the registry to find where that's stored, but trust me, that's stored.
Okay.
Now, remember, somewhere before we went into a dimension of our themes, we were
doing this for a reason.
We were creating some extension,
yes.
I think. So that V6 file got loaded into the experimental instance. And so hopefully there it is, my create something extension.
Mm-hmm.
I can click on it, and now there's that menu option that I've created. It's not a very exciting extension, of course, but it's it's an extension. So a question you might be thinking is, well, where are all these extensions catalogued and managed and so on? I'm going to close down the experimental instance. So we're back into the other one now. We finished debugging. You can access all these extensions from this menu here, extensions and updates.
Yep.
So again, we've done a bit of work in this release to make this a little bit easier. Here you can see the ones that I've got installed on my machine here. You can go and search for these different things here. So if I go here, I can go and pick out something like that color theme editor, since we're into color themes. And this will just come and grab. Yep. There we go. That's the nice little one there.
And we had a show a few episodes ago with the roaming extension manager.
Right.
Which is really cool.
That's really cool. When you've got lots of setups and different machines and you just want to be able to pull them down automatically. So that's where it all comes from anyway. And I should also note that there's a web version. This is the gallery, which is where we have a repository of all of these ones here. One of the other things we've done in this release, we've gone and added into the gallery GitHub integration. So if you open source your extension, we link directly from here into GitHub, so you can go and find the source easily. So that's that. So that's a very basic extension. It's probably worth just looking at something a little bit more complex. So I've been playing around. I'm fairly new to this space myself. I came over to this team about 3 months ago, and I thought I'd sort of start playing around. So this is one that I created, which just takes it a little bit further and gives you a bit of a sense of what's going on here. So if I just go into full screen mode for a second here, you'll see the same extension files. This is the C-sharp file, like the command one that I created here. There's a bunch of stuff here that reflects where the package comes from, reflects the GUID for the package, so you know which one it uniquely is, hooks it up into the command service. This is all MEF, by the way, so the way that extensions are loaded is using that Microsoft Extensibility framework. In this extension, I thought it'd be kind of fun to do something a bit different. So you know GitHub, of course, great repository for source code. GitHub has a service that I really like called GitHub Gists, which enables you to take just a little snippet of code and upload it. So a bit of a, sort of a paste bin sort of like feature. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to be able to create an extension that takes your code and creates a gist out of it. Just to show you a couple of things that I did here in this code here. This is the same menu item callback. I used a NuGet package called Gists API to do all the dirty work of actually submitting things and authenticating and so on and so forth. So I throw up an auth dialog, and then I go and, well, I need to grab from whatever is in my editor the things that I'm going to go and upload as a gist. And so I do that here. There's this thing here called the view host, the text view host. These are all methods that are in the actual Visual Studio code base here. So there's a little bit of work here. This is a bit painstaking, but I'll make this available. It's actually on GitHub already, so you can kind of look at it. But essentially what we do here is we grab out from Visual Studio, we say, show me the text service, give me the text service that I can use. Then from within there, we say, show me the active view, which is the thing that's on the screen right now. We got that view, we go ahead and grab the data out of it, and that gives us the host for this view. Again, you've got quite a few layers here because this is the real Visual Studio. Now I've got this sort of space here. I want to get into it and actually grab something out of it. And so what I do is I take that view host, look at the specific text view element, which is essentially the rich text box, if you like, from within here, grab the selection out of it, and then say I want the first selection text out of it. So that's the kind of work you do to actually go and grab stuff from the environment. Another example, this one here, is getting the file name that you've currently got loaded, takes the text view, grabs the model behind the view, and goes and grabs the property, which is the document property.
Okay.
So, there's stuff here that's a little complicated. I'm not going to say it's just super easy, but it's because you really are executing against the Visual Studio product itself, the object model that powers everything that you see on the screen.
Right.
So there's the complexity there. But the value of that complexity is it means you can do almost anything you like with a product.
Yep.
You've got essentially first-party access to Visual Studio, and that's how tools
and
like
the,
geocoding.
The object model's all documented.
The object model's documented. The other thing that's quite nice, we've got a samples GitHub repository now we've just launched, which contains about 20 different samples of doing almost everything that you'd want to do, creating commands, creating editor classifiers, tool windows, custom project systems, new language services, you name it. So that's another thing, and we'll put a link up, I guess, so that people can can see that.
Cool.
So that's what we got.
All right.
It's pretty neat.
That's excellent.
Hey, thank you, Robert.
So thanks for that. As I said, we're going to have Mads on in it's a few weeks, I think, to show us more extensions. And it would be cool to do kind of a follow-up, either an episode or maybe a Channel 9 blog where we actually go through more of the steps of building one
out. Sure.
Maybe I'll commit us to doing that right now.
Sounds good to me. We've got some good walkthroughs.
Cool. That's a great overview of doing extensions. Cool. Thanks for coming on.
Sure. It's a pleasure.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.